Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study.
What we're doing at the moment is we're going to continue in what we started today about a runaway slave, and his name is Onesimus. And if you didn't catch the first part, please do, because this is the second part of it. And I want to continue in where I left off about an example of a true saint, you know, and this is what we're talking about. Now, I want to give you an example of a substitutionary redemption in verse 18. Let's go to Philemon, verse 18. One little old book. Boy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff in this little book. An example of a substitutionary redemption in verse 18. And it says, if he, talking about Onesimus, wrong thee, talking about Philemon, or oweth thee aught or something, put that on mine account. So, as Mary Lou brought up earlier, we don't really know what it was. But if he took anything, and he owes you anything, Philemon, Paul's writing, charge it to me. So, Philemon cannot lose in this situation because Paul's going to pay him. So, I wanted you to see that. Because he had wronged Philemon, Onesimus has. He betrayed his master's trust. Well, that's obvious whenever you are owned by somebody and you're in their trust and you leave and you're not planning on returning. That's despising his master's goodness because he was feeding him and sheltering and keeping him in clothes. And he probably stole his master's goods. But he owed much to Philemon, Onesimus did. But I want you to listen to this. Paul says, if he had wronged thee or owed thee aught, another owed thee something, put it on mine account. We're not that gracious as human beings today. If somebody steals something from me, I want to be paid back. I want retribution. It's just the way I am. I mean, most people are that same way. I was watching Channel 5 of the night out of Mobile. This guy shot a fellow, shot a police officer, and they were chasing him. And they finally found him about 3 or 4 hours later, and he tried, like Onesimus, to get away, and he got on a bicycle and he was riding the streets. Okay, and so he was trying to put himself into the regular crowded population.
Rest of the world.
They got him, just like Onesimus was gotten. And we're going to say how he was gotten in a minute, but he was gotten. So, yeah, it happens all the time. You know, he shot that guy, and now he's got to pay the... They're not just going to say, oh, you can go free. He's got to pay the penalty, and we have penalties in society for doing others harm, specifically body afflictions. Now, I want to tell you, the substitutionary redemption, we know, and I'm going to just give you a reference. I'm not going to go there because it's going to take too long and I don't need all of it. And it's Isaiah 53, starting verse 4 through 10. But don't go there. But that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. He was our substitute. He was our redeemer. He died because he loved you so much. And he died for your sins. That's what he did. And we're all sinful. We still are as long as we're breathing. The only way to quit sinning is to die. So that's why Apostle Paul says, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin. So, let's continue on in here. Now, what about divine forgiveness? This is an example of divine forgiveness. Paul says, if thou count me therefore a partner, verse 17, he's talking to Philemon again. If thou count me therefore a partner, and he was, receive him, receive Onesimus, as if it was me, myself. Onesimus was forgiven through the intercession of another man, Paul. He was accepted into the body of Christ, not as a slave, but as a brother and as an equal. You got to understand that word, equal. And he was accepted because of another. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did Paul get his revelations from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it says in Galatians chapter 1, 10, 11, and 12. Now, we ourselves have been forgiven through the cross of Christ and what took place at Calvary and what Jesus Christ did for us. We were reconciled. Sin was taken out of the way. He died for our sins. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. He died for our sins. Now, we've been accepted as the sons of God in every way. In every way. We're sinless in God's sight. You can't get any better than that. But you're not sinless in God's sight until you trust the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and was resurrected from the dead on the third day. And he did it for what? Your justification. You now have peace with God, and you have the peace of God, and we have the peace through God. But see, you got to understand, we've been accepted because of another.
Right.
That's Jesus Christ.
We've been accepted.
But the thing about this book here of epistle that stands out most is God's amazing grace. We all deserve, past tense, if you're saved, we all deserve hell. We all deserve to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Carol asked me, was it this morning or last night? It was this morning, wasn't it? About, Russia is drilling in the northern part of, she said, north of Siberia, I guess. Now, this is probably not true of what I'm going to tell you, but I can't disprove it. I can't prove it. Many, many years ago, I've mentioned it in here, but many, many years ago, there were some people that I read this article about that were drilling for oil in Siberia or north, and they really had some more than the regular drills for oil. They were down in the deep of the dirt, the center of the earth kind of thing. Not that deep, but deep. And the people that were standing there waiting for the drills and replacing the bits and everything else, they started hearing some awful crying and screaming. And they recorded it. I recorded it. But I continued to read, and it said, those people that listened to it wish they'd have never heard it. Torment. People screaming. Now, whether this is true or not, I can't tell you. But after I read that, they said, I wish we'd have never heard it. I refused to listen to it, so I didn't hear it. I had it. And it's probably still on one of my computers, but I don't want to hear it. Yes, Joe?
I got that tape. You can hear screaming. Yeah.
So it's, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I know it to be true in the future. And it's true right now with a rich man in Lazarus. The rich man's in hell, and I might talk about it if I have time here in just a moment. But I wanted you to see that. But I can't say it's true. But in the case of Onesimus, we see clear evidence that the grace of God is always effectual, irresistible, and can never be prevented in its purpose. There was a purpose Onesimus was saved. Grace is not God's will to save. Grace is God's set of, or act of saving. Grace is God's act of saving. Unmerited favor, something you do not earn, something you don't work for, is trust. He loves you that much. Now, we're going to take the case of Onesimus here, and I want to show you something about the grace of God concerning Onesimus. The grace of God always takes the initiative in salvation. The grace of God rules and overrules all things to accomplish its purpose. The grace of God is always successful. Always. It never fails. Grace will not leave you once you've trusted the gospel of the grace of God. Grace always gives God the glory. And I think sometimes we're lacking in that area. We're supposed to do everything and give praise to God in all things. The grace of God is a door of hope for lost sinners. When I mentioned that, there's five things, and we're going to talk a little bit about them. The grace of God always takes the initiative in salvation. Onesimus was the object of sovereign election. You know, I'm not talking about predestination. I'm talking about sovereign election. Do you think the Apostle Paul, who was a chosen vessel, he was elected. Through the foreknowledge of God, he saw that man. And he utilized that man. His chosen vessel.
Separating from his mother's womb.
That's exactly right. Because of God's foreknowledge, he saw Paul would take the message to the Jew and the Gentile and be his apostle. He saw it. But this Onesimus, this old poor slave, he didn't know it, but he was the chosen object of God's eternal electing love through God's foreknowledge. He didn't know it. Did you know that you were going to be saved through God's grace? I don't believe there's a soul in here ever knew that. He, Onesimus, was not worthy of God's love. None of us were. Onesimus didn't desire God's love. He was a slave. We didn't seek out God's love. What I did, I just didn't want to go to hell. Nevertheless, he was loved of God from eternity. Before the first grain of sand was ever spoken into existence, Onesimus was loved by God, and so were you. Whether you're saved or not, you were loved by God, and you're still loved by God, whether you're saved or not. You're just going to spend eternity with him if you're saved, and you're going to spend an eternity in hell if you're not. It's just that black and white. It's just that simple, okay? In a lot of cases, the most unworthy of the unworthy, the most loathsome of the loathsome, the most useless of the useless, and the most vile of the vile, are the objects of God's grace, and I'm one of them. Are you? Think about it. You're going to come back and say, well, I wasn't as bad as John Doe. No, you were. Maybe worse. But that's what he takes. He takes loathsome people, unworthy people, the worst of the worst, and he saves them by God's grace. My goodness. Who are you, and what am I, that God should be merciful to us? We're nothing. Why should he have mercy on us? God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, the Bible says. But you're nothing special that he would have mercy on you and not have mercy on you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren. Paul's talking to them, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Not many of those were called. But God, ain't that great? But God, you know something's going to change when you see that, have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, that's the low end of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What have you got to glory about? But now that we're saved, We give all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. Go over to Jeremiah, would you? Or go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. There's a lot of interesting things that happen in 31 there. But we're just going to cover one little thing. Verse 3. Jeremiah 31, 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's you too. He's loved you with ever loving kindness, and he has drawn you. Don't ever forget where you were, who you were, and what you were when the grace of God found you. Chris has got that song. When's your moment? When did you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That's what I'm talking about. You know where you were at when you trusted Christ? Did you know what you were when you trusted Jesus Christ? You were an enemy of God Almighty. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, and this pretty well tells it like it is. I like going here because denominational systems won't take you here. They'll read you some of it, and then they'll... Yep. 1 Corinthians 6. I want to start in 9, because they'll stop at the end of verse 10, and that always bothered me. And 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that was every person in this entire world. But verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb, but you are sanctified. You're set apart to be used by God, but you are justified. You're cleared of all your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. The grace of God sought Onesimus. It wasn't Paul. Paul didn't seek him out. The grace of God sought him out. He didn't seek God at all. God sought him. Onesimus didn't come to grace. Grace came to him. Onesimus did not find the Lord. The Lord found him. Remember the scripture says we're all gone out of the way. There's none to seek him, no, not one. I believe this was probably an example of it. God chose us. We didn't choose him. I'll tell you what, I was going to just tell you, but let's go read it. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just believe what the Bible says about it. How about that? Ephesians 1, 4. According as he have chosen us. It's talking about in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. According as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Did it say that God chose you before the foundation of the world? It sure did.
After he foreknew us.
After he foreknew you, of course. It's through his foreknowledge. If it wasn't through his foreknowledge, it would be predestination, and you would not have a free will to either choose or reject the gospel. We have a free will. God saw us. We didn't see him. But before I go there, go to 2 Thessalonians. We might have already been here. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. What hurts? What's it going to hurt to read the same verse again? Not a thing in the world. 2 Thessalonians. I don't think we were there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we, Paul says, are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, what's that word? Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, not Peter's gospel, not no other gospel, by our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, I love it. But God saw us and we didn't see him. Go to Romans chapter 3. I had a woman on Facebook yesterday just trying to eat my lunch. It didn't work. She was talking to me. She said, in Romans chapter 3 is the gospel. Oh my goodness. I give her everything she needed and she still denied it. I'm saved. That's Paul wrote that. I don't care if Paul wrote Romans. Matter of fact, I'm glad he did, but I don't care. But salvation ain't in there. Just like in Romans chapter 3, verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Did you think you seeked after God? God sought after you. That's exactly right. But now here's something. Something amazing. And it happens every day in our everyday lives. Onesimus. Let's get this straight. He had no right to leave his master and run away. Agreeable? He was on. He didn't have no right to do that. But Onesimus did exactly what he wanted to do. What did he do? He freely exercised his free will, and he chose the path of wickedness. Or you may find that strange today, saying, well, it was wickedness by leaving his master and taking his goods. But it was. But now, Onesimus came to Rome. We already agreed and saw that in here. Onesimus must have heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul. But think about this. Paul and Onesimus must be brought to Rome at the same time. What if Paul had been there a year earlier and it had already released him? Onesimus would still be lost. What, you see what I'm saying? They had to come together at the right exact time. Now, how did this happen? How did they get there at the same time? Satan tempted Onesimus just at the right time and persuaded him to steal his master's goods and run away. Just at the right time. I'll tell you now, I was watching E.C. Moore on TV at just the right time. Amen. Satan led an angry mob to have Paul arrested in Jerusalem, didn't he? At just the right time. Wow. Having robbed his master, or taken his goods, if you like that word better, Onesimus was filled with fear that he was going to be executed, and he fled to Rome. At last, listen, on the appointed day, Onesimus comes before the Apostle Paul, and Paul preached the gospel to him. God always brings the sinner whom he has chosen to the preacher whom he has chosen. And I put the word preacher in there, but that could be just a saint of God that's going to witness to that individual. You don't have to be a preacher to tell somebody the salvation message. So you could say, God always brings the sinner whom he has chosen. And we've read a couple of scriptures that said God chose us. So I know he was chosen to the person whom he has chosen with the right message at the right time. Perhaps, and this is a perhaps, this is not a surety, that Onesimus had been arrested. Could have, because Paul was in prison. They could have took him over there and put him in there too. We don't know. But there's another possibility. Perhaps he came to Paul for help. Well, see, why would he go to Paul for help? He knew that Paul and Philemon were buddies, both in the body of Christ, both benevolent, loving, trusting individuals. And he's in trouble. He could have realized, oh, I have made a grave mistake. Let me go see Paul. And I'm sure he didn't use this term. Paul begot Philemon in the gospel. Maybe he can have an influence with Philemon to get me back over there without executing me. We don't know what run through the man's mind, but that's a perhaps. At any rate, Onesimus and Paul, they meet face to face. Listen, at the appointed time, in the appointed place, for the appointed purpose of God. And I'm here to tell you that's true. Can't you see it's the truth? Without me even telling you, can't you just see? It was the appointed time, the appointed place for God's appointed purpose. Man. Here's a note that I got. Here's a word of comfort and encouragement for you. Now, I know some of the people in here has got this problem. Most everybody's got this problem. I got this problem. Whose sons and daughters break your hearts through their rebellion and waywardness. Sometimes this is God's way of appointed time of grace. It's his appointed way of grace for your children. You can say, well, like some people try to put it off, all them teenagers, you know, they're growing up, they got to go through a rebellious stage and all that. Maybe that's what it is. But God's appointed time hasn't happened. But sometimes the individual gets killed in a car wreck or ODs on drugs before they have that time. But overall, your sons and daughters, this could be God's appointed way of grace for them. Listen to this. It's far better to lose them for a season, a few years or whatever, and gain them for eternity than to keep them at home in self-righteousness and lose them to Satan.
Amen. Amen.
Did you know the grace of God is always successful? Grace cannot, will not be defeated. Grace is unmerited favor you don't work for. As I was just talking to Harold in Ephesians 2:10. For we're created unto good works, but that's after you trust the gospel. You don't trust the gospel for your works. God don't see any works prior to your salvation. Because you're a sinner. God cannot be overturned. And God chose Onesimus through his foreknowledge. No predestination here. Grace preserved Onesimus. Grace provided for Onesimus. Grace protected Onesimus. And grace led Onesimus all the days of his life, even in his rebellion. Have you ever been rebellious since you've gotten saved? I'm sure one of the spouses of another one in here are rebellious to the other one at some point in time. Not Carol, though. I hope Lila did not strike us dead.
She gets her 2 cents in there.
I know. At the appointed time, grace conquered Onesimus' heart. He did it. It's by the power of God's grace that Onesimus was made up. What was he made? A new creature in Christ. Praise God for that. Is that what you are?
Amen.
Oh, yes. What we got to do, and this happened with you too, if you're saved, behold the transforming power of the grace of God. It's powerful.
Amen.
The most powerful thing, I hate to call it a thing, in the whole universe. I mean, it's bigger than the universe. It's bigger than everything. Grace always gives God the glory. Let's look at it. This is the reason that God does the things the way he does, so that we might be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians, would you? Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to tell y'all something on the way over there. No, I'm very serious. I hate to say it. Well, let me read the scripture first. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6.
That's a good one.
They all good, ain't they?
And then 2:6 after
that. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Woo-wee. Now, what I wanted to show you, and I just thought about it. I thought about it yesterday when I was going over this. You see this? I use these little cheap Bibles because I don't have any commentaries in them. I don't be distracted by what some other man told me. But it's very simple. I wish they had wide margins in it, but that's okay. I started on one of these, and I'm in the process of possibly thinking about it. I've got tons of Bibles, and Carol and Trish bought me one as a gift, and this wide margin, I think I'm going to move. But here's the point that I wanted to show you. This Bible isn't wore out yet. And I'm depressed about that. Because when you study the Bible on a regular basis, you are going to wear your Bible out. I wore Bibles out when I was really studying. Have you wore your Bible out? Anybody wore a Bible out in here? If you haven't, you ain't been studying it. Online don't count. It don't count. I used to be online all the time. That's what I went to, online. And when it got down, Scott's very good at this, but when I got down to the point I would be witnessing to somebody, I couldn't find it. But I could go on my computer and find it. But I couldn't find it out of the Bible. That was depressing to me. I didn't think I'd ever overcome that. But I have. I absolutely believe by reading the epistle of Philemon that Onesimus gave God the glory due unto his name. And so do I. He chose me. And I hope you do, because he chose you. He redeemed me. He sought me. Believe me. I was under conviction for, and I'm not lying to you, many, many years. Not just a little while. I'm a tough case. And when I get it right, which I have by trusting Christ, you ain't never going to get it out of me. He called me. Did he call me? He came to me. He came to me. Right out of here. He gave me life once I trusted the gospel of the grace of God. He gave me the faith I need. We all have a different measure of faith. But it's the faith of Christ that saves that we have faith in. And He preserves me. How do I know? Because Ephesians 4:30 tells me that I'm sealed until the day of redemption. I've got the earnest of the Spirit in me by Ephesians 1:13. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. I do not believe, and I don't know if I'll do this next week. I might, since I got number four. But I've got another one. 1 Corinthians 14. That I plan on doing soon. I already got it ready. I almost got it done. I mean, I almost did it today. But I told Scott the other day that I had this and I wanted to do it. I haven't done this service in 10 years. You forget a lot in 10 years. Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it gets better because your knowledge expands when you study the book. Oh, I'm telling you. I did this too, EC. Matter of fact, the grace of God is the door of hope for perishing sinners. And believe me, you're perishing if you're not saved. If you don't look at it, take a look at a picture of yourself in high school. Now take a look at yourself.
Gracious.
I hate to do that. I don't even resemble the same guy.
I know.
I'm better looking.
Scott's he's an exception to the rule.
He's an exception.
It's pretty bad back then.
That's right.
He's a door of hope.
Amen.
The God that I preach to you is the God of all grace.
Amen.
Go over to Micah, please. Now, in Micah chapter 7, verse 18. I'm going to read the whole thing, but the last five words is what I wanted you to see. But I'm going to read the whole verse. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He's talking to the Jews here. He retaineth not his anger forever. But that's true for us. But here's what I wanted you to see. Because he delighteth in mercy. And he has delight in mercy for each and every person in the sound of my voice. The entire world. But that's a little bit about Onesimus, right time, right place, right purpose of God. I didn't know if you've ever heard, like I say, a service on it. We don't go into that book. I don't know if anybody here does. But there's a lot of good things in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just study what the Word of God says, study the Word of truth, rightly divided. Now, how can an individual be saved? By trusting that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised from the dead, or resurrected from the dead on the third day to justify us. Peace with God, peace of God, peace through God. It can't get no better now. There's no other way. The best time to have ever lived in the history of mankind.
Even in this present evil world.
Even in this present evil world,
right.
For salvation. But you can't do anything. You can't work. You can't do anything. But when you get saved, then you start your works. What is those works that you're supposed to do? Plant a seed. What is it? Plant the gospel. Tell somebody how to be saved. The most important thing an individual can tell another is how to be saved. And then you can go back, or either someone else, Gloria, or somebody will come by and water that. It's like taking a pitcher of water and pouring it out on that same individual. It's what it is. You saturate that person with the Word of God, rightly divided, the Word of truth, rightly divided. And you can't go wrong. That's why you're here. No other purpose why you're here is for the praise of the glory of God that you're here. We all got saved for a reason. It's to tell somebody else how to be saved. That's what it is.
Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you. And join us next week.